This is a day I've been looking forward to for quite some time. Honestly, I don't know that I ever really... I didn't know if it would come or not, to be honest with you. But, boy, I'm so excited that today is the day we get to baptize Cody Bartels. It's going to be one of the greatest joys I've had in my ministry to this point, if not the greatest. But this morning I want to talk to you about something called redeeming grace. We're all familiar with the concept of grace. We're all familiar with the concept of mercy, God's mercy. But this morning I want to talk to you about something that we rarely put together, and it's the idea of redeeming grace. To understand mercy, we can turn to Matthew 9:13. Jesus says, "But go on and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, God did not come for those who had it all together. He didn't come for those who didn't need a Savior. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Of course, we know in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death. We all deserve eternal separation from God. Eternal punishment. That is what we deserve. But God, in His love, instead, He wants to give us mercy. He wants to give us not what we deserve. There was a mother who once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. Justice demanded death. The mother explained, "I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "if it would not be mercy if he deserved it. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. That is mercy. It's not getting what we deserve. And then there's grace. We all know Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, grace is different. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's the gift of God. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." You see, God, in His wisdom, in His love, He said that through faith, we can accept this grace that God wants to give us. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. It's God looking at me and saying, "I want to give you something that you don't deserve. And by the very fact that we don't deserve it is why it is grace. There's a man, he recalls how he learned grace from his father. Years ago, my father coached a team of 8-year-olds. He had a few excellent players and some who just couldn't get the hang of the game. Dad's team didn't win once all season. But in the last inning of the last game, his team was only down by a run. There was one boy who had never been able to hit the ball or catch it. With 2 outs, it was his turn to bat, and he surprised the world and got a single. The next batter was the team slugger. Finally, Dad's players might win a game. The slugger connected, and as the boy who hit the single ran to second, he saw the ball coming toward him, and not so certain of the baseball's rules, he caught it. The final out. Dad's team lost. Quickly, my father told his team to cheer, and the boy beamed. It never occurred to him that it was because of him they lost the game. All he knew was that he had hit the ball and that he had caught it, both for the first time. His parents later thanked my dad, their child, had never even gotten in a game before that season. We never told the boy exactly what happened. We didn't want to ruin it for him. Until this day, I am proud of what my father did that afternoon. You see, that is grace. It's unmerited favor. That little boy did not deserve for them to cheer and to clap him. But they showed grace to him. Grace that he didn't deserve. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. Mercy is getting what I don't deserve. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. I think I said that right. Mercy is getting what I don't deserve. It's not getting what I deserve. There we go. Mercy is getting not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. But there's a special kind of grace. It's very, very rare. And that is redeeming grace. Redeeming grace. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works." You see, grace is just giving something to somebody that they don't deserve. But redeeming grace is giving something to somebody that they don't deserve, but that costs you something. It costs you something to give it to them. Redeeming grace is expensive. There's a little boy, Tom. He had a new boat. He had built it himself with his own hands. He took the boat down to the edge of the river. He placed it carefully in the water, and he slowly let out the string. How smoothly the boat sailed. But Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. And suddenly a strong current caught the boat. Tom tried to pull the boat back to shore, but the string broke. And the little boat raced down the stream. Tom ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but his little boat soon slipped out of his sight. He looked all afternoon. By the time it was getting dark, it was too late to look anymore. Tom went home very sad. A few days later, on the way home from school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in a store window. When he got closer, he could see. Sure enough, it was his. Tom hurried to the store manager and he said, "Sir, that is my boat in the window." "Sorry, son, but someone else bought it in this morning, and if you want to, you'll have to buy it for $1. Tom ran home and counted all of his money exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. "Here's the money for my boat." And he left the store, and Tom hugged his boat and said, "Now you're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you." And that's redeeming grace. You see, redeeming grace is where Jesus gave himself to pay the debt that we owed so that he could be just and yet justify those who are guilty before him. We stand guilty, deserving punishment. And yet, because of God's mercy, his love toward us, his desire to show grace, he paid the penalty that we should have paid. Romans 3:20 through 26 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." God has given us his law, and we understand that there is no one who can stand righteous before God on his own account. There's nothing that we can do to merit heaven. There's not one thing that we can do to wipe out the sin of our past. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe." Through faith, God's righteousness has come upon all who believe. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness." And here's the clincher. "Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, and that he might be just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus." God made himself the very thing that we needed. He made himself the escape. He sacrificed himself so that we could have freedom from our sin, so that we could be removed from the bondage that once held us down. There's different ways that we can react to this grace. We can ridicule those who have found that grace. Oh, that religion thing. And it doesn't work. He's just the same person that he was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's no different. And we can ridicule the work that God is doing. There's another response to God's redeeming grace. And that is to continually remember all of our mistakes. We lose the power of forgiveness. I know as a father, many times, right? Kids are fighting back and forth. And, "Well, you did this over here. You did this over here." And we just tear each other down. But there's a correct response when we see God's redeeming grace at work, and that is to join in it, to be thankful for it, and to be excited for it. I can tell you this. Since I met Cody Bartels to today, he's a totally different person. And I've had the pleasure of being very close to watching that journey. And I'm very excited for what's going to happen this morning. Because it is an example of God's redeeming grace. He didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But God, in his mercy, his justice, his grace, he redeemed even a sinner like me. And he redeemed even a sinner like Cody. And so today we get to witness Cody's testimony and his baptism. And I hope you're as excited as I am this morning. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I am just so thankful. Lord, a living testimony. Lord, we have a ritual that you have given to us, communion, that reminds us of the sacrifice and what you put on the cross, yourself. You died so that we could be free. But then also, Lord, we have these living letters. And that is each one of us who goes out and tells the world about how wonderful and how awesome and how powerful you are. Because you are at work in our lives. You have redeemed us, but you begin a work that you're going to complete. And one day we will stand before you, and not only will we be justified, not only will we be sanctified, but we will also be glorified. And we will see you as you are, and we will be like you. All because of your redeeming grace. Lord, thank you so much that we can say, I am redeemed, bought back by the blood of the Lamb. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.